Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Studio 6 Paranormal Memoirs. Yes, I decided to call it that because it sounded good. So, some background music. I'm still playing with that. Some of it's okay. I need to upload some of my own, but Restream's got some okay stuff. But anyways, are you ready for another story? This one's a pretty good one, actually. It's an account of my first ever visual of a apparition. So let's change the music for this. So anyways, when I was 16 years old, me and my family moved from Colorado to where I'm at now in Wisconsin. And the one thing that I remember about this is I was looking forward to moving back to where I was born, because I was born in Wisconsin and I only lived here for a few years after I was born, and then we moved away and lived in some other states. But anyways, I really was looking forward to doing this. I was starting a new school and looking to make new friends and, you know, this and that. And so talking about the paranormal, I had experienced, you know, my curiosity was more prevalent when I was a teenager. I've been into the paranormal since grade school. My first book I read when I was in third grade was Ghosts by Daniel Cohen. And remembering that book, and I remember the blue cover of it, it was pretty cool. It was just, I was enthralled with every page, every story in that book. And so I remember the cover. It was a blue cover. And it just, there was something about that book that drew me to it. And there's some great stories in there. There's a couple stories that actually kind of freaked me out when I was kind of, how old was I? I was probably, well, it was third grade. So yeah, I think I was like, what, 8? So yeah, it was one of those moments in my life. It was one of my favorite words is pivotal. It was a pivotal time in my life. So anyways, moving on. I basically, after reading that book and just the mystery of the paranormal and what it, and all the ghost stories and this and that, you know, I grew up watching Scooby-Doo, you know, and to be honest with you, when I was real little watching those Saturday morning cartoons, I wanted to be a part of that. And so it was just one of those things where I, every Saturday morning, would sit down and look forward to watching Scooby-Doo, you know. And then when I got older, and then I read that book by Daniel Cohen, and then it was just after that I would come across different things, and I love to read. And that was one of the things that I realized, that reading that book really made me want to read more. And so I'd love to read now. So anyways, getting on this story. So a few years later, you know, I would say, I don't know, 5 or 6 years later. I really got into the mystery of, like I said, of the paranormal. And when we were moving, even before we moved, you know, I mean, I had experienced some weird things, around, you know, like the neighborhood and stuff like that. But I, you know, when you're a kid and you're doing stuff and you're hanging out with your friends, and it just wasn't one of those things where you really paid attention to, because your mind is, you're growing and your mind is going everywhere. And, you know, so, but when we moved, I just turned 16, and, it was a house in this town that I live in, and my mom and my dad, my mother and my father were looking for a place to rent, and they couldn't find one, and they left us kids, you know, back in Colorado, and when they drove to Wisconsin to try to find a place to rent. Now, mind you, my parents were from the area, and, you know, went to the high school here in the town that I live in. And, you know, so they were all familiar with this. And my dad pretty much knew a lot of people still, you know, even after being away from this town and, you know, over the years. So basically it was, they were having a hard time finding a place, and it just so happened that my mother came across this lady who had this old house that was kind of like a mansion, kind of like a big old Victorian type house, but it was downtown. And I remember when they came back and they said, we found a place, and, you know, it's, you're going to really like it, and this and that. And I said, okay, you know, that I was looking forward to it. So, you know, we drive to Wisconsin, and, you know, being in awe of things that, now, mind you, I remember, my memory goes all the way back to when I was one. And a lot of people find that very hard to believe, but I've proven it time and time again that my memory bank started after when I was 1 year old. And I remember certain things about the house that we lived in, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. So people have tried to, you know, family members have tried to, you know, disrupt me and say, no, you can't remember that. And I actually caught my sisters in a lie when they were babysitting me and taking me up the street to a house that wasn't quite built yet. And I told my mother, we went out to dinner one time, and this is, you know, years later, and I was in my 20s, but the story goes that my sisters were watching me, and they thought it was funny to pass me through the window or the brick wall that had an entrance, like a window, like a downstairs basement window, because the house wasn't built yet. The house was only had the foundation. So they were passing me back and forth. I was crawling through this little like tunnel of a window, and they thought it was funny. And I told the story when everybody was sitting at the dinner table. I said, they used to pass me through back and forth and thought it was funny. And the look on my sister's faces were just, you know, like, you've got to be kidding me. And my Muhammad chimed in and said, I wondered why he had cement chips on his clothes, on his knees. And I said, yeah, because they used to pass me back and forth and thought it was funny. And so, yeah, so after that, my sisters were, you know, quite astounded. And, you know, I didn't really hear too much after that, but yeah, I can remember stuff back to when I was one. Anyways, back to the story. So we're going back into the town, and I love this town, and there's a lot of history here. And, you know, being 16 years old, I was looking forward to girls and high school and, you know, getting my first car and all these other things. Excuse me. So upon arrival, the moving truck for all our stuff was not there yet. So we pull up to this house, and me and my sister get out, and we're in awe, you know. And as you remember, I told you in my last story, in my last episode, that, you know, my I have gifts, and my sister also has gifts, even though she doesn't like to admit it, but she does. And so we walk up to this house, and we're, like I said, we're in awe. And right away, we kind of look at each other like, wow, this place is creepy. And so we walk in the door, and immediately you could feel that there was a charge in the air, and you could it smelled like your grandmother's house. Had that old smell, antique smell. So we go in there, and then we just both stopped and looked at each other and thought, this is going to be cool. And I heard my mother behind me tell my father, you know, don't get them started. And I didn't quite understand that until later. Evidently, my dad knew, could sense things as well. And so, yeah, it was one of those things where at that moment, I didn't quite realize what my mom meant, but, you know, now I do. And so we, you know, walked through the whole place, and it's kind of a, you know, bigger house, and it was really pretty cool. And we go upstairs, and we go, you know, what rooms we had, and, you know, we have, and this and that. And the bathroom was across my bedroom, and it was at the top of the stairs, and the bathroom itself could hold another bedroom, because I mean, it had two closets, one on each end, like on the far wall with a big bay window, and it had a big walk-in closet on one side, and then on the other side of the window, there was another walk-in closet that was pretty huge. It was amazing. I mean, it was awesome, you know? And so we were loving it. So we got to walk through the house, and we could sense the air was thicker, and it was weird. But, you know, it was back then that was, I didn't really think of it. So anyways, you know, we move in, and we're, you know, exploring the town again, and, you know, or again, I should say, for really the first time for me and her. Like I said, I was too little to go anywhere. My family, you know, or my sister carried me everywhere. My sisters, I should say. When we would walk downtown, I do remember walking past the library at one time. But so we got the feel of the town, and we, the house and all this, and we were probably there for, I would say, a couple months, and weird things would start to happen. There'd be things, like the cough, like I would get up to go to school and it would be like, weird. I don't know. It's hard to describe. It was kind of like, just like I said, everything was charged. It was just, it felt, you could feel it in the air. But when I would come home, my dad would be at work, and then my mom would be at, at her shop around the corner that they had procured to an antique store a month after we moved, basically. I think it was about a month. Sometimes my memory can be a little fuzzy, but anyways. I would come home and like the coffee pot would be on. And I couldn't, I thought, okay, my mom just left it on, no big deal, whatever. And it kept happening. And so one time I went to the shop and I said, you're still leaving the coffee pot on when you leave. And she says, no, I'm not. She said, I always turn that coffee pot off. I said, okay, whatever. And I basically, I went home and I went in the kitchen. There was somebody home. And I went in the kitchen and I said, okay, whoever is leaving the coffee pot on or turning it on after my mom leaves for work or leaves for the shop, I said, please stop. I said, it's a fire hazard. And then I felt kind of silly talking into the air, whatever, because at that time, I knew of spirits and I knew of ghosts, and I had studied and read books, and I was into it, and so I really didn't, I kind of felt weird, but I didn't, I was like, whatever. So, and the next day when I came home from school, it didn't do it. And it never did it after that. So I was like, huh, that's odd. So as time went on, there were other things that, and we had two dogs. There were other things that kind of got weird. The dogs would kind of freak out. We had a Lhasa, and then we had a Shepherd mix. And the Shepherd would constantly, pick up something. It would be just weird the way she would just bark at anything, and there was one time when I was home and my sister was in the far bedroom, because there was three bedrooms upstairs and it was like an L shape, and she was in the far bedroom, and that's where we had our TV, and that's where we used to watch MTV, way back in the day. And we had some pinball machines and video games, older video games up there, and that was a kind of our game room. And the one time my sister had called me over there and said, Jake, come here. She's like, check out, her name was Ms. Watson, called her Waddy for short. She says, look at Waddy. And I said, okay. And I stood outside the door of the bedroom of the game room, and she's barking at the closet in the corner, and she's just like, her hackles are up and she's really like just in guard mode. And I walked in, I took one step in the room, the dog stopped barking immediately and looked at me and looked back at the closet, looked back at me, and got up and laid on the couch that we had in the room. And just laid there. Like nothing had happened. I'm like, okay, that was weird. So whatever was there left when I came in the room. And later on in life, now that realizing of the light that I have, the energy that I have, and the frequency that I give off, spirits can see those. And I have interacted with spirits with said light and energy and frequency. And so, I have, you know, telling this story now, that makes sense to me. You know, the spirit that was there probably basically just said, I'm not going to be here anymore, and took off. So that was one instant. And then there was another instant that I started working at a Ben Franklin, which is, for anybody who doesn't know what a Ben Franklin is, it's kind of like a dime store, a Woolworth, or, you know, back in the day. You got to realize this is the 80s, okay? And so I basically, I would walk downtown to work, and then I'd work 3-4 hours, whatever, and I'd come home. Now, I didn't have a car yet, but I did have, I had some type of card. It wasn't a driver's license. Maybe it was a permit or something. I don't know. But so I would go up into my room, and this is a really old house. And so, I mean, you could lock the door from the inside, you know, I mean, so I would go to get into my bedroom and the door would be locked and I couldn't get in it. So I would have to jimmy using this card that I had in my wallet, and I would jimmy it open because it was easy. Like, okay, well, that happened like 2 or 3 times. And then I went to my sister, whose bedroom is next to mine. And I said, are you doing this? And then she would laugh and she said, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, you suck. Okay. So she got a laugh out of it. So, okay. You know, the next day it happened again. And I ran into my sister's room and I said, okay, listen here. What are you doing? And she says, I swear, Jay, that is not me. I'm not doing it. I told you I wasn't going to do it anymore. And she says, I swear I haven't. I'm like, okay. So, of course, I didn't really believe her, but whatever. So I went in the room, and it happened again. And my sister swears, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. So this is the other time where I went into my bedroom, and like I did in the downstairs in the kitchen. And I said to the air, I said, okay, whoever's locking my door, please stop, because it's getting harder for me to get in. And it's ruining this card. I couldn't remember what it was, but it was some type of card I was using. And so it never did, and that never happened again. So I was like, wow, okay. So time goes on, and there were times where I would be in my bedroom, and right outside my door, if you go to the left, across the hall is the bathroom. And then to the left is a small hallway that goes back to the servants' staircase, because this used to be a really big building, kind of like a mansion type, and they had servants back then, and there was a servant staircase. And right at the top of that servant staircase, there is a doorway, like it looks like a screen door and a door that goes upstairs into the attic. Now, I was never up there because the lady that was renting it to us, she's the only one that had the key, and she said, you don't need to go up there. There's only some old stuff up there from my family, you know, from my grandparents who lived in the house, and da da da. I was like, okay, so we never, you know, went in there, never opened the screen door even, you know. So there was, you know, living in an old house like that, okay, the doors don't always go flush to the floor. So there's like a gap on the bottom, and you could see we had a nightlight in the bathroom that would shine through my, on the floor, through the door. It was a faint light, but you could see it. So, anyways, I would lay in my bed when I couldn't sleep, you know, and I would just kind of look at that, the light that was, you know, coming from underneath the door. And, I started seeing shadows that would block out the light. And I thought it was my sister. So I would, you know, I would wake up or I would get out of bed and go in the hallway, and I would go down to my sister's room and she'd be sleeping. Okay. My parents were sleeping because I could hear my dad downstairs at the bottom stairs of the bedroom downstairs. He was snoring. And my mom would have no reason to be upstairs. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning. So I go back to bed. I shut the door. And now I'm like focused on the nightlight that's coming through the bottom of my door. And hoping that I'll see it again. Which I did. But that wasn't the only thing. I actually heard the screen door open and the door to the attic open and somebody walk up the stairs. There's stairs that go up to the attic. Now, being a 16-year-old and seeing this, thinking we have a burglar or we have an intruder or something like that, and I was kind of freaking out. I was like, so I got up and I'm like, I'm at that point, you know, I'm kind of shaking in my boots because I was like, you know, 16 years old kid doesn't have a whole lot of courage, but I mustered enough to go out my door to the left and go to the top of the stairs. And I'm creeping like the kids in Scooby-Doo, you know, I'm creeping and, I get to the door or the top of the servant staircase. I get to the door where the screen door is. And it's only like 5 feet. You know, it's not that. It's pretty close. So I go to open the screen door and it's locked. I'm like, what? The screen door is locked. It doesn't even open. And I'm like, okay. And I could see that the other door is closed, you know. I mean, so yeah, so I didn't know what to think at that time. But I could tell you what, it freaked me out. You know, I was kind of freaking. So I went back into my bedroom, closed the door, got under the covers, and I somehow fell asleep. So I was expecting that in the next night to happen again, but it didn't. It was really weird. It didn't happen. It like happened only every once in a while. It didn't happen all the time, which was, I just thought was odd. But I knew that we didn't have an intruder, and it had to have been something that I thought was paranormal. So time goes on, and I have a friend over, and a friend from high school, and we've been friends for a going on, you know, 6 months or whatever, and we were kind of inseparable, and we would, you know, go places and hang out and party and do whatever, you know, do what 16-year-olds do. So he's actually at my house, and it's during the daytime, and I was telling him how strange this house was and this and that and some of the strange things that have happened. And he's not into it. He doesn't like the scary stuff. He doesn't even want to talk about it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So we go out. We're going to go out, walk downtown or do something. And I think I had my license. I think I had a car by then. I think. Because it had been almost a year. Anyways. So we go out the back door and we're walking in. There's a hallway that connects the outside, and then there's one that connects the garage. You know, it's just like a hallway. You can go left to go outside. You can go right to go into the garage. It was weird. So we go outside, and I said something, and I made a comment about the house or the ghost or something like that. And I heard this girl's laugh. And I thought it was my friend. And I looked back and I said, oh, that was funny. He's like, what? He's like, that was you laughing at me. He's like, that wasn't me. He hightailed his ass out there real quick. That was funny. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, so time goes on. And one night, I was sleeping in my bed, and I don't know what woke me up, but something. When you feel somebody that's staring at you or looking at you, even when you're sleeping, you wake up. My daughter used to do this to me when she was real little. And I was sleeping, and then she would stand right next to the side of the bed and stare at me while I was sleeping. And that would make me wake up, and it would scare the crap out of me because she's like 3 inches from my face, and she's looking at me and want me to wake up. And she doesn't say anything. She just looks at me. And I'm like, okay. So that's kind of the way it was. It kind of felt that way. That's the best way to describe it. But so I open my eyes and I sit up, and there's this woman standing at the end of my bed. And now I know the whole, oh, the ghost at the end of the bed theory, you know, or, you know, we've heard that so many times. Yeah, well, you're going to hear it again because it actually happened. And so I sit up. And the first thing out of my mouth is like, what? I was upset because she woke me up. I love my sleep. And she didn't say anything, but I can remember what she was wearing. And it was period clothing, you know, and she wasn't that tall, but she had brown hair and this dress. And she didn't look like a servant, I don't think, but she looked, it was from the 1900s, I know that. And I know that. Now, mind you, my parents were antique dealers, and they, you know, had a lot of different things that they bought, you know, antique wise. And that's a whole nother story I'll save for another episode of the haunted objects that my mother would pick up. So anyways, I'm sitting there, and she's got this look on her face, and it's kind of like discernment, and she's just looking at me like, can I trust you, or you know, there was some type of longing or like needing help. And it was just really, it was weird. You know, when somebody comes up to you and they got that sad face and you want to say, you know, are you okay? Is there something that I can help you with? That's kind of what it kind of felt like. So I just was like looking, I'm like, what, you know, and I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. I didn't, but she was standing right there. And then, I rolled over. I'm like, if she wasn't going to say anything, I just was like ignoring her. I was like, which is kind of crappy, but, I rolled over. I laid back down, rolled over and put the blanket over my shoulder. And the next thing I know, I'm dreaming. I'm standing in a driveway, a gravel driveway of my dad's former farm that he lived on when he was little or when he was growing up. And I'm like, why? And it was almost instantaneously when I rolled over and put my head on the pillow and closed my eyes, and I was there. It was the most bizarre thing I can describe. Is it was just bizarre. So this man walks up to me, and he had suspenders on, and he started talking to me. And then once I realized who he was, and it was my grandfather, who I've never met, he died in 1966, I do believe. I was born in 71, so, he was actually my grandfather. My dad's dad was actually born in 1881. Yeah, as crazy as that is, but my dad was the youngest out of like 14, I think it was. So, anyways, that's another story, another day. So I'm talking to him, and at this point in the story, I have to kind of do a little side jaunt. It's because about 7 to 8 months after we moved into this house and we moved back to Wisconsin, my dad was sick. My dad had pancreatic cancer, and we didn't, back then in the 80s, they knew about it, but it was, there wasn't much they could do. They could do surgery, and, you know, long story short, you know, it didn't work. You know, my dad ended up passing away a couple years later, about a year, 2 years later, from it. But while I'm experiencing this, I'll go back to the story of talking to with my deceased grandfather, who I've never met. He did proceed to tell me that my dad loves all of us kids. He really needs your support. I want you to be there for him. And, you know, this is a hard time for him and this and that. And blah, blah. I said, okay, you know, sure. And there was a question that I always wanted to ask my grandfather was, that because we weren't, you know, we had good childhoods, you know, we weren't like, you know, we would get in trouble. We weren't whipped with a belt or nothing like that. You know, my dad didn't really believe in that. So I wanted to ask, I don't know why I asked this, but I did. I asked, I said, did dad ever get the belt? And he kind of just, I don't even remember what he said, but I think it was more or less of, yeah, at times, you know, but I just thought it was funny. And then I woke up. Well, I woke up to tell my mom this story, and I'm telling her, and I've never seen this guy, my grandfather. So I described him to my mom, what he was wearing, what he looked like, whole nine yards. And my mom got a picture from this box that she has of old black and white photos. And she said, is that him? I said, yeah, that's him. And she was like, oh, don't ever tell your father that dream. I'm like, okay. So I didn't. Well, I was proceeding to tell her about the spirit, you know, sending it to put in my bed. And she basically was saying that I was making it up. Basically, she was like, you're full of it. You know, this, I don't got time for this. And just as you would know it, my sister came down and said, you'll never guess who stood at the foot of my bed last night. My mom was like, oh, you two are just, you know, full of it. And we had the same stories, but I didn't know that she had the same spirit at the end of her bed. But she told the same story that she didn't say anything. She just looked at her. And so, yeah, I saw her clear as day. I wasn't scared. I was more irritated because she woke me up, you know. And I guess that's, you know, hindsight. You know, don't wake me up when I'm trying to sleep. I've had spirits wake me up before that too. But that's, and like I said, that's another couple stories. But anyways, so, you know, my mom made a joke about it, and I said my mom had a figurine on the mantle above the fireplace, and I said she was kind of wearing clothes like that, and so this little figurine with no neck that my mom started calling the ghost No Neck Nelly as a joke. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think she likes that, Mom. So that was one of the first time that I experienced a full body apparition, and clear as day. And my sister shared the same story, the same, you know, event. And we had other things that happened too. Oh, we used to have friends, you know, I would have friends stay over because my room was big enough. I had two beds in it, you know, two singles. And so a friend of mine named Rich hung out, and, you know, he stayed the night at my house, you know, and for some reason I wasn't sleeping on the other bed. I was sleeping on the floor. I don't know why, but I just felt the need to, sometimes when it was hot or whatever, I'd just rather sleep on the floor for whatever reason. I don't know, because I'm just weird, I guess. But he was sleeping on the bed, and something was like kind of wanting me to wake up. So I woke up, and I see him huddled in the corner of the room on the bed with his knees to his chest, and he's trying to get my attention. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he was like, dude, there's somebody in your house. I'm like, no, there's nobody in my house. He's like, I keep seeing shadows underneath your door, and I keep hearing that door open at the end of the hall. I'm like, no, there's nobody here. Go back to bed. And he was like, dude, I swear there's something. Without trying to freak him out, I was like, yeah, yeah. But the person that may be here is no longer alive. Okay. So are you saying it's a ghost? And I was like, possibly. I don't know. I'm like, so I kind of was like discrediting him a little bit and telling him just to go to bed. Needless to say, he never spent the night in my house again, which is fine. You know, it happens. But yeah, I had another friend that's my best friend, the guy that heard that laugh that sent him running. I was in the hospital because I'm asthmatic, and I was having an episode, and my friend decided that because he was so close to the family after, you know, the years that we were there and whatever, and we would sleep in each other's houses even when the other one wasn't there, because we were family. I knew his parents. He knew my parents. So I was in the hospital, and he decided to stay at my house in my room. And I think he only did that once, because I think something happened. And I think there was another time when he showed up with my sister and her friend, because they were all friends, and he saw somebody standing in the second floor window in the hallway, and he said, "Nope." I think he went home. So yeah. So there was quite a few different stories that go along with this house that I loved it. You know, I wasn't really scared. You know, they were experiences that I can, you know, take with me forever, that, you know, I had that experience that, you know, I saw my first full body apparition, you know, I experienced, you know, footsteps and, you know, doors closing. There was one time where, I don't know how, but I was downstairs sleeping on the couch in the foyer, or the living room. Our living room was pretty big. And it was around 3 o'clock. And I think I was the only one. Was I the only one? My parents were out or were gone for something. And I think that my sister was staying with somebody else. I think I was by myself. And there was one time where it was like three. I woke up exactly at 3 a.m. and I heard all the upstairs doors slam shut. That freaked me out. And so then I went upstairs and none of the doors had shut. My door was open. My sister's door was open. The other room. I don't know if people have experienced that, where they hear things audibly and then they don't actually happen. It was really weird. But I think I experienced that once or twice. But yeah, that was a fun house. I miss that house. That house right now is a Thai restaurant. if you want some really good Thai, go there. But yeah, it's a restaurant. It was shortly after it was we moved, and it was sold to a bed and breakfast, and I think they had some weird things happen there too, and it just didn't go. And they sold it to another Chinese place who actually opened up as a Japanese steakhouse. And it's been that way for years. And me and my wife go there to eat sushi up in my old bedroom, which is kind of funny, you know? And initially when I went back there, it was cleared out. You know, there wasn't anything there negative that I could really sense. The one thing that I got was somebody came in a long time ago and did some cleansing in the place and cleared it out. And it is what it is. It's a restaurant now, but I'll always love that house. I'll always have those moments in my life because of the fact that I was able to experience that growing up, you know? So, but that's the story of my first full body apparition and the house that I'd love to live in, you know. I'm sure I could think of a few more, but about that house, but time's getting short. So having said that, I want to kind of wrap this up a little bit here. But I do want to say, people, thank you for tuning in to this and all of Studio 6's episodes. You know, we still have the Cemetery Files, Paranormal Triangle with Dave and Kelly. And, you know, I'm doing this, Studio 6 Paranormal Memoirs. Yeah, I'm loving it. You know, I've got a lot of these different stories. So, but in closing, you know, I want to go back to, if you can dream it, you can do it. Find yourself a good support system. If you're into the paranormal, find like-minded people. You know, find people that are into it. Find people that want to support you and your dreams of doing what you want to do. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be paranormal. It can be, like I said, if you want to work in a McDonald's, hey, go for it. You know, everybody deserves an opportunity to live life to the fullest. Don't let your circumstances dictate where you can go, because you can go literally anywhere. So, support system is key. You know, like I said before, be your own fan. Be a fan of yourself. If nobody else wants to be a fan of you, be a fan of yourself. I enjoy telling these stories, and I enjoy talking with people. Like I said, after, you know, when I do investigations or even when I do readings or whatnot, you know, I love talking with people, and I always tell them the same thing. If you can dream it, you can do it. So having said that, I want to thank you for listening. I hope this has made your drive more bearable or your Sunday afternoon more bearable, but I've got more of these. And yeah, I'm not going anywhere. So this is Jay Hill, Studio 6 Paranormal Memoirs. See you guys. Godspeed.
This show is brought to you in part by Studio 6 Media Production.